Hello and welcome to our virtual book club. I hope you've all been reading The Mitchells, Five for Victory by Hilda van Stockham. If you have been, then I'm going to take you to pages 48 to 50, the moment when Miss Merivale arrives. And if you haven't, then I'm going to read that section as a little bit of gentle encouragement to you to give it a try. So the situation is that the children's father's gone off to war. The children are enjoying the relative freedom they've got. Their mother, however, has got some money worries, and so she's going to take in a lodger. And after a few false starts, she manages to recruit Miss Merivale, who moves into the spare room. She's a school teacher, but she doesn't quite fit in. Miss Merivale was fond of children. She was a kind teacher, and her classes were always orderly. But she had been an only child herself, and she hadn't seen much of children outside school. It would be very interesting, she decided, to live with the Mitchells. All the same, she was rather disagreeably surprised when she was awakened suddenly the next morning by a loud crashing noise. "What can that be?" she cried, grabbing her bathrobe and running into the girls' room. "What's happened?" Joan woke up with a start. "It's nothing," she murmured sleepily. "Only Timmy, shaking his crib." "Good gracious," muttered Miss Merivale. "At 6 o'clock in the morning?" And she hurried back to bed. But every time she fell into the soft mood which comes just before sleep, Timmy gave an especially ferocious shake to his iron crib, rocking the foundations of the house and jerking her back into consciousness. "Good heavens, does he never stop?" she sighed. "Why don't they discipline the boy? I must lend Mrs. Mitchell my book on child training. This is preposterous." Feeling thoroughly annoyed, Miss Merivale got out of bed and put on her stockings. It was just as well she did, for now the household was waking in earnest. Several doors slammed at once, causing a pitcher, which had been clinging for dear life to a wobbly nail, to drop down with a bang. There were shrieks from Angela, who wasn't being let in somewhere, then a call from Mother. "Joan and Patsy, it's time to get up." Joan's voice answered, "Yes, Mother, I'm up, but I can't wake Patsy." Sounds of a scuffle in the girls' room and a flying pillow collided with Miss Merivale as she left the bathroom, hitting the toothbrush out of her hand. "Ouch," she squealed. "Can't one even dress in peace in this house?" But a strong smell of fried eggs and coffee consoled her. She found her way to the dining room, where Mother greeted her pleasantly. "Good morning, Miss Merivale. Would you like some oatmeal?" "Yes, please," said Miss Merivale, noticing that she was hungry. She hadn't eaten much the night before. "Let me pour you some coffee," continued Mother. "What are your plans for today? Your school hasn't started yet, has it?" "No, but I have some work to do at the library today," said Miss Merivale, feeling her good humour coming back again. The room was beautifully still. Timmy sat in his high chair, pink with soap and water. Peter, also washed, with a clean shirt on, was silenced by an enormous plateful of oatmeal and honey. Granny came down and made a cheerful remark about the weather. She handed Miss Merivale the paper, and Miss Merivale saw at a glance that we hadn't lost the war yet. The cuckoo clock cleared its throat and announced leisurely that it was 8 o'clock. Miss Merivale felt it was a privilege to live in a real home. But suddenly the peace was shattered by Angela, who came whirling into the dining room, curls flying, a shoe on one foot, a slipper on the other. She had her arms full of dolls, but clamoured for more. "Where's Marky?" she cried. "Where is Marky? I've lost Marky!" And let out a wail that seemed to slide like a knife down Miss Merivale's backbone, cutting her in two. At the same moment, the older girls entered with hair cascading down like the tangled manes of wild horses and wanted to have it done. Timmy looked up, saw life was becoming interesting, whooped and threw his toast across the table right into Miss Merivale's cup, upsetting it. As Miss Merivale tried to stop the stream of coffee before it reached her new skirt, she felt something touch her ankle and jumped up with a yell. It wasn't an animal, though, only Angela, who was crawling on the floor in search of Marky. But Miss Merivale thought she had had enough. Murmuring that she wasn't hungry, she left her egg untouched, snatched a hat, and rushed out of the house. Five for Victory is very much a book about a family. It's a wonderful family, a very happy family, but it's certainly not an orderly family. And so the humour in this passage comes from this rather disorderly family, meeting Miss Merrivale, who likes things to be just so. And of course, she can't cope with the reality of a very small child waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. She can't cope with the noise and excitement that comes when lots of children are in one confined place together. And Hilda van Stockham captures that really beautifully in all sorts of different ways. Just want to focus on one paragraph, though, and just have a look at the way in which she writes. It's the last paragraph on page 49. And what's going on here is that Miss Merrivale is being lulled into a false sense of security. Her good humour comes back again. And then we get a series of very short sentences. The room was beautifully still. Timmy sat in his high chair, pink with soap and water. And then the next sentence I think is wonderful. Peter, comma, also washed, comma, with a clean shirt on, comma, was silenced by an enormous plateful of oatmeal and honey. And what we get there is that impression that Peter is not normally washed with a clean shirt on. And of course, he's been silenced by an enormous plateful of food, but Miss Merrivale doesn't know that. And so we get a sense of what's just around the corner, even if she doesn't. We also get this wonderful next little bit when Granny comes down and makes a cheerful remark about the weather and hands Miss Merrivale the paper. And what's it say next? And Miss Merrivale saw at a glance that we hadn't lost the war yet. Not Miss Merrivale saw at a glance that we were doing quite well in the war, or not she saw at a glance that we hadn't won the war yet. No, she saw at a glance that we hadn't lost the war yet. So what the third person narrator tells us there is something about Miss Merrivale's rather gloomy expectations. It's very subtly done. And then the next sentence, the cuckoo clock cleared its throat and announced leisurely that it was 8 o'clock. We get a sense that everybody is at peace, even this inanimate cuckoo clock. And at that point, Miss Merrivale felt that it was a privilege to live in a real home. But the next sentence starts with but. You've probably been told not to do that when you're writing, but here it is. Real writers really start sentences with buts when they need to. But suddenly the peace was shattered by Angela, who came whirling into the dining room, curls flying, a shoe on one foot, a slipper on the other. The sentence is longer. There are more subordinate clauses as we gradually get introduced to Angela, who is all over the place, whirling into the room, hair all over the place, one shoe on, one slipper on, not in complete control in the way that Miss Merrivale would like. And she's looking for yet another doll. And at that point, everything goes haywire. A whole bunch of older girls enter. Toast is thrown across the table, goes into Miss Merrivale's cup. Coffee goes everywhere. And then Angela, crawling under the floor, sends Miss Merrivale shrieking and out of the room. And on the story goes. So there we are. It's a wonderful piece of writing. You might even want to try something similar yourself. How we move in this passage from relative peace and tranquility to complete chaos. But it's done in a very assured way by the writer. There's nothing chaotic about the writing. And sometimes it's just the use of short sentences followed by more complex ones. Sometimes it's just a subtle hint from the narrator as to the feelings of the main character. Sometimes it's through personification, the cuckoo clock clearing its throat, and in a leisurely way, announcing that it's 8 o'clock. And sometimes it's just the use of the verbs. If you look at that last sentence on page 49, the piece was shattered by Angela. And what's she doing? She's whirling, and her curls are flying. These are rather expressive verbs for that particular sentence. And off we go. So there we are. Miss Merrivale arrives. Miss Merrivale departs, and the story goes on. Just a very short introduction to one of the relatively early chapters in the book. I hope you'll read on, and if you haven't yet started, I hope you will start reading. And join us next time for some further thoughts on The Mitchells, Fight for Victory by Hilda van Stockham.